Hello, I'm Rosemary Evans, the Chief Assessor for Unit 5. In this podcast, we're going to look at the June 2009 exam paper together. My job as Chief Assessor is to write the exam questions and answers, mark exam papers, and supervise the marking team to ensure the exam papers are marked to the same standard by all the other markers. During this process, I see hundreds of exam papers and gather a lot of experience of the common mistakes that candidates make. I'm going to run through the June 2009 exam paper, task by task, to explain what I was looking for in each task and how you might approach any similar tasks in order to achieve success when you take your Unit 5 exam. I'm going to be referring to the exam paper, so make sure you have a copy in front of you. Past papers can be downloaded from the AAT website. First of all, some general advice. You will not be successful in this exam if you are not familiar with the principles of double entry bookkeeping. Make sure you really understand debits and credits. And if you are not sure, go back to basics and get plenty of practice until you are confident. This will definitely help you with Unit 5. There are further resources available in the e-learning section of the AAT website that you might find useful, or ask your tutor for materials to help you practice. When you are revising, it is very important to practice past papers, which, as I mentioned before, are on the AAT website. The answers are also available, but check with your tutor before using these in case he or she is planning to use them as a mock exam. So you should definitely test your knowledge and understanding by trying as many papers as you can manage, but a word of warning, do not rote learn the answers. It is extremely unlikely that I will repeat a task exactly as it has been set before. The key word is understanding. You need to understand what you are doing so that your skills are transferable to a new situation. The experience that you gain from trying different exam papers will prepare you for the unique tasks that will face you in your exam. Another word of warning. Don't try to predict what will be in the next exam by studying what has been in the previous ones. You will spend valuable time doing this and you're very unlikely to get it right. It's much better to use your revision time to practice your weaker areas. On the day of the exam, you will have 3 hours and 15 minutes in total to complete your paper. The 15 minutes is for reading time, and though there is nothing to prevent you starting your answers during this time, I'd advise you to use this time as intended, to read the exam paper. You may be nervous and want to get started, but 3 hours is plenty of time to complete and check your tasks. Use the 15 minutes to familiarise yourself with what is in the paper. How many tasks are there? Turn every page to make sure you don't miss anything. Section 1 will be about incomplete records and preparing a trial balance, while Section 2 will be about adjusting an opening trial balance and preparing some final accounts. You might find Section 2 easier than Section 1, and there is no reason why you shouldn't tackle this first if you prefer. However, I would suggest that you stick to one section once you've started it. You might get very confused if you jump from section to section, and you will lose your thread. Now some tips for the exam. Show your workings. Never, ever work out a figure on the calculator or in your head and then just write it down. If it's correct, no problem. If, however, you've made a mistake and you haven't shown your workings, the marker will be unable to award any marks, which could make the difference between your being successful or not. Also, try to be neat and tidy. There is less risk of the marker missing a vital piece of your answer. Avoid the excessive use of abbreviations and communicate in a way that would be suitable in the workplace. And please, don't use red pen or pencil for your answers. Now, on to June 2009. Have you got the exam paper in front of you? Let's start. What you need to do first is exactly what you would do in the exam. Spend 15 minutes reading through the paper and familiarising yourself with the content. When you're ready, carry on listening. Section 1 is about a sole trader with incomplete records called Izzy Andrews. Note the information on page 3. The business is not registered for VAT and there are no credit sales. This will save you looking for unnecessary balances later. On page 4, you will find bank and cash summaries and an opening balance sheet. You will need to use all of this information at some point in this section. Task 1.1 on page 5 is a straightforward purchases ledger control account. always be prepared to produce control accounts in this exam. You are told here that the missing figure is credit purchases, but in other examples, this could be bank or discounts received. The most common error was to include the cash purchases, though the task clearly guides you in parts A and B so that it should be obvious that these are not to be included. Be careful when labelling the accounts in double entry tasks, or indeed in any tasks such as journals or trial balances. Your account names should be accurate and unambiguous in order to get maximum marks. In task 1.2 on pages 6 to 7, you are required to deal with the disposal of a fixed asset and calculations for depreciation. The task was highly structured and students seemed to find this helpful. However, a significant number applied 3 years depreciation to the disposal in A rather than the correct two. The policy was very clearly stated, and you must be able to follow this and cope with a disposal that does not coincide with the year-end date. In the disposal account in B, the labelling of entries was often disappointing. The proceeds should be labelled with the correct double entry, i.e. bank, not proceeds or sale of asset, for example. The remainder of the task was to prepare the depreciation figures for the trial balance. I can reassure you that errors made in A and B were not penalised again in these parts. This is true not only in this task and not only in this exam paper, but throughout all the AAT exams. Task 1.3 on page 8 was designed to test the application, knowledge and understanding of the accruals concept. Make sure you are able to adjust the bank figure for opening and closing accruals and prepayments to calculate the correct figure for the profit and loss account. You must be able to write this up in a T account, although that was not required in this example. Candidates often struggled with part C, explaining why they have made the adjustment. It is important to be able to give reasons for the actions that you take, as this shows real understanding rather than rote learning. If you have looked at many exam papers, you won't be at all surprised to find the trial balance task on page 9. This requires full understanding of the tasks already performed and of double entry. Ideally, your trial balance will balance, but don't despair if it doesn't. Only use the time you have allocated and then move on, coming back to see if you can make it balance when you have finished all the other tasks. If you haven't time to make it balance, enter a suspense account and show two equal totals. Task 1.5 on page 10 was a little different from previous approaches, but again was highly structured, with guidance for candidates as to where to find the information. It was very disappointing that many students could not see how to generate the closing stock figure in C. Would you be able to produce the first part of a profit and loss account to calculate the gross profit? In that case, you should have no problem with task 1.5, as it simply involves manipulation of figures. If you understand the calculation, you will have no problem here. And make sure you look at your answers carefully before you move on. A profit figure higher than the sales can't be right. Students absolutely must look at their figures to see if they make sense if they are to be successful in the exams and in the workplace. Now, on to section 2, where we find a partnership business registered for VAT. On page 11, you are given some information to use for adjustments, including clearing the suspense account. Read everything carefully. The task is unlikely to be identical to a previous one, so don't jump to conclusions. Draft up a suspense account in the workings to see if it clears. If it doesn't, you have probably made a mistake. For task 2.1, your adjustments are to be written in the adjustments column of the ETB on pages 12 and 13. The common errors were to place the adjustment for Dave's drawings in a separate account instead of in the current account, incorrectly adjusting for E, posting the credit adjustment to the provision for doubtful debts against the sales ledger control account or a bad debts account, and failing to clear the suspense account. When you have finished, add up the columns to check that you have completed double entry. If they don't balance, you've made a mistake. Not surprisingly, in task 2.2, you are asked to extend the trial balance and complete the profit and loss and balance sheet columns. Take your time and be careful, remembering to make the adjustment the right way round and enter the figure in the correct column. A common error is to forget the balancing profit or loss entry, even though you are reminded to do this on page 11, and don't forget to give it a label. Very clear guidance as to what was required in the current accounts was given on page 16 for task 2.3. If you followed this, you would score very good marks for a relatively simple task. However, most candidates in June did not achieve full marks because they did not follow the instructions. Dates were often omitted or only included for some entries. The opening balances in the next period were often not shown. These are skills required at the entry level, and it was disappointing to find these have been forgotten at this stage, with the consequence of marks being lost. Otherwise, the task was attempted fairly well as regards the figure entries, though quite often opening balances were on the wrong side and profit was sometimes placed on the debit side. On page 17, task 2.4 required a balance sheet. This was very well prepared by the majority of candidates. The disappointing aspect was the finance bisection. A large proportion of candidates did not know how to present this correctly for a partnership. Some variations produced a balancing balance sheet, but full marks were not achieved if the correct partnership format was not used. Make sure you understand the difference between a sole trader and a partnership balance sheet. The other common mistake was to include the provision for doubtful debts as a liability instead of correctly deducting it from the current assets. Task 2.5 on page 18 introduces data about a new partner joining the business. The requirement is broken down into bullet points to help. Many candidates were able to calculate the revised capital by adjusting for goodwill correctly, but frequently candidates split the introduction of goodwill 50-50, although the profit-sharing ratio had been given to them in an earlier task. Other common mistakes could have been avoided with careful thought. For example, if the goodwill entries were on the wrong sides, Felix ended up with more capital than he injected. Common sense tells us this cannot be correct. Similarly, if entries for goodwill on both sides are the same, there is no change to the capital figures. Can this be right? Again, candidates need to be careful with their labelling of entries. The correct entry for Felix's introduction of capital is bank. Finally, in task 2.6 on page 19, you'll see some further information about fixed assets. This was about verifying the presence of fixed assets and seeking appropriate advice. Most students noticed the discrepancy, and there were many sensible suggestions as to why the figures disagreed. Most also suggested referring to the existing partners or to their supervisor for more information or advice. A significant minority, however, were prepared to adjust the figures without any further investigation. There were also answers to tasks that have been set in previous exam papers, such as confidentiality, the contents of a fixed asset register, and even an occasional reference to stock takes. This is evidence of rote learning or not reading the task thoroughly. Remember to use the time allowed to read carefully so that your efforts are not wasted on irrelevant answers. So now you have reached the end of the exam paper. Don't forget in the exam to use any spare time to check your work. Above all, make sure you have answered all the tasks. You are very unlikely to be successful if you skip a task. If you're about to take a Unit 5 exam, perhaps I should be wishing you good luck. But if you're well prepared, you won't need any luck. You will certainly be successful.